This is KD&K Carbondale. Support for KD&K comes from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Secure, informed, and connected. 970-948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going good. Let's ooh, spicy. Here we go.
Yeah. How's it going? This sounds perfect.
Nice and hot. Still hot.
Just the way we like it. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Do anything exciting for New Year's Eve?
Slept.
Tried to get your kids to sleep?
No, my nephew was in town for several days, so we made sure our girls got to hang out with him as much as possible.
Cool.
So.
Well, yeah. Hey, the name of the game is Geek Speak, and our number is 970-963-2976. And you can call in with all of your New Year's tech problems and questions. And we will attempt to fill the space between your extremely stimulating questions and with our blather. If there's one thing we geeks can do, we can geek out. So, yeah. You know, I actually forgot to text Donna. I should text Donna.
Yeah. I think my desktop environment I've been watching closely finally came to version 1 while we were out for over the holidays.
You said KDE? Is that what you said?
No, it's the one I'm talking about. It's called Cosmic.
Oh, okay.
It's actually made from a company out of Denver.
All right. So we're talking about Linux now, right?
Yep.
Okay. And for those of you who aren't in the loop, Linux is a operating system that is one of the options that you have to run on a computer.
Yep.
Mac OS, Windows, Linux.
Yep. FreeBSD and so on.
Yeah. Unix. And
yep. Well, FreeBSD is
OS 2, Warp.
That one's still around. IBM's still working on that one.
yeah.
So one of the interesting things about Linux is there is a whole bunch of different desktop environments to choose from. So, you know, on Mac OS X, you have the Mac OS, interface. On Windows, you have the Windows 10 or Windows 11 interface. On Linux, you get to pick and choose. So there's GNOME, KDE, i3. I mean, just there's dozens and dozens of them. So you can kind of find one that fits the way you think about using the computer. And then have Linux under the hood running all the stuff in the background and have that be what you interface with.
Got it. Yeah. So unlike Windows, in the Linux environment, you have like infinite, well, I don't say infinite choices, but you have like literally hundreds of choices.
I was gonna say you can,
as to how you want your desktop to look and how you interact with it.
So. Well, and many of them are basically fully configurable. So if you really wanted to get it, so that's why I said you can find one that's close. And then you could, you know, tweak the configuration to be just exactly what you want if you wanted to go that far. But you can find one that's close and just, you know, roll with it, which was usually what I do.
Yeah.
Unless there's something that's really annoying. But I found a couple little tweaks that, you know, make life nicer.
Yeah, because, I mean, they have one that looks just like Microsoft Windows, right? Is it still called Wine? Is that what it's?
Yeah. What? I'd have to look. Well, there was Lindows. That's dead now.
Okay.
Probably the closest. Well, I set up a KDE one. It's just gorgeous. It's not quite fully Windows, but it's pretty close. Probably the closest one out of the box for a Windows clone would be Cinnamon or Mate.
Okay.
Right. Which are from the Mint. So
okay.
There's a version of Linux called.
Say, I've heard of Cinnamon. It's in the Mint family, right?
Yes. So there's you can go look up Linux Mint. And then they have either Mate or Cinnamon, and I can't remember exactly the difference. One's built on an older tool chain, and I think the other one's built on a newer tool chain.
Yeah.
But those are probably that's probably the most Windows-like between administration and the look.
Got it.
Of those two.
So if a listener had like a old, you know, like an old Windows 10 laptop. Let's just go there. So if a listener had like a recently retired old Windows 10 laptop and they wanted to put Linux on it, how would they go about doing that?
Well, probably the easiest way is either you can download a little app. So like the one I've been playing with is from Fedora. I actually have it on my laptop mm-hmm. here. But basically, you just say Fedora Media Writer. Fedora is from Red Hat, which is owned by IBM here in the States. But it's pretty, basically you say, so they give you a bunch of different flavors.
So this is how you would go about installing Fedora on your laptop, which is a version of Unix or Linux.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. So there's basically like Red Hat land and OpenSUSE land and Debian land.
Okay. Those are the three big.
Those are the three big.
The three continents of Linux.
Yeah. And there's a few others. There's a map that looks very much that people have made. But so basically you download this little media creation tool, very much like the Windows one,
mm-hmm.
If you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
Then you have the official editions, which is Fedora Workstation, Fedora KDE Plasma, Fedora IoT, which if you're building a little IoT device might be a good choice.
Okay.
And then Fedora Server if you're doing...
And for those who are not in the know, IoT stands for the Internet of Things.
Yes.
And so, for instance, if you are lucky enough or unlucky enough to have a smart refrigerator, that would be a good example of a Internet of Things device. So yes.
The one I've been playing with is KDE, which is Fedora KDE Plasma Desktop.
Got it.
And it's very Windows-esque with the menu bar, with the menu and everything.
Okay. So you download the Fedora creation.
This is even easier.
You download the Fedora media creation tool.
Yep.
Then you choose your flavor, flavor of Fedora you want. Or a Red Hat, and then it downloads that.
Well, yeah. So you put your external hard. You put your put a
flash drive.
Yeah, like a 16 gig or 32 gig flash drive into the computer.
Right.
It'll automatically detect it. So you tell it the flavor. Go next. Select. Mm-hmm. And then it'll ask you which version. 43 is the current version. It'll ask you what drive mm-hmm. do you want to put it on. Do you want to do Intel, AMD, or ARM.
Okay,
and so
for most of our listeners, Intel, AMD is going to be the answer for that. There's not a lot of ARM devices in the mainstream yet.
Yes,
ARM is enjoying a big resurgence right now, but it hasn't really hasn't caught fire completely.
You'd have to have a Snapdragon, or I think the latest Surface or ARM.
Okay.
Or if you have an old Windows RT tablet.
Oh, okay.
I think those are 10 years old.
Got it.
So basically then you just say, "Hey, grab onto the 32 gig external storage device," and it downloads it, loads it to the device,
mm-hmm.
Checks that it's downloaded correctly and been copied to the device correctly, so it just goes okay. It does all that, says, "Hey, you're good." The next step is turn the computer off. And tell it to boot from the external hard drive. Now, you may have to turn off secure boot depending on...
That's true, yeah.
Depending on what's going on. I think Fedora has... Most laptops should have a... Fedora should work with most laptops with secure boot, but you may have to go into the BIOS and turn off secure boot.
Okay.
After that...
But you have to... So let's go back to every computer at startup time... Has a there's a special startup key that you have to press.
So you can do, and most of the time you can do like F12 or F11, and
some computers it's the Del key, which is the the period on the number pad, right?
Yeah, it just depends on the computer. You may have to look that up for your particular computer. F2 is common, delete is common.
Mm-hmm.
F12 is usually boot from. It'll bring you a boot menu, and you can mm-hmm. go boot from USB, and it'll boot into a lot. It'll just boot into. You select your
installer.
Well, the nice part is it's a live disk,
mm-hmm.
so you just fire it up, and you can go surf the internet and kind of see how it looks. And
okay,
play.
All right.
And
is there a fork in the road? Is that an option you can choose to mount a live copy right now, or to go ahead and wipe the hard drive?
Depends on the distro. Most of the modern ones, what they'll do is they'll come up and it'll bring up the installer. So mm-hmm. it'll bring up a Linux desktop, and you can just fart around and play.
It's like we have a call. Somebody who wants Linux on their computer. Let's bring them on.
You're on with the geeks.
Let's see. Hello.
I think they changed the rules again.
Have we? We have a different rule now.
You're on with the Geeks.
Hey, Geeks, it's Donna. How are you?
Oh, yay. I'm so glad you called.
Did you guys have a good holiday?
We did. How about you?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I've been sitting here thinking about what's going to be my next tech purchase. Do you have any recommendations? Like, I heard that they're going to come out with new MacBook Pros and, you know.
Let's see. I thought of a really good... I just heard about a device that you can basically test, like run hundreds of tests on your blood by just sticking your finger in, and it just pricks your finger and runs it off of a drop of blood.
Really?
I'm joking.
Oh.
Sorry.
I was like, wow, that would be really good.
That's the centerpiece of a huge tech scam I'm listening to a podcast about. You know, there's... This was a thing.
They've been talking about that for 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
I imagine we're pretty close.
Sorry. I am so digressive right now.
Yeah,
So let's see. I've been thinking about a bunch of different tech items, but you got anything on your hot list?
For me, I'm going to be going to New Zealand, and it's a photography class, so I need something to take to download all my photos to. And so I'm thinking I have a MacBook Pro, but it's fairly old, maybe five years old. So I'm thinking maybe about a new MacBook Pro.
Got it. Well, I just set one up for a client, and it was super sweet. It was, you know, one of the new 16s and 16s, and it was very nice. I would buy one. Yeah. So just need to get plenty of storage if you're going to be taking pictures, right?
Yeah. You know, originally I was thinking, oh, I don't really need a laptop very much anymore. I'll just get a Mac Mini, but I can't take that on a trip.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't work at all. Well, you know, I suppose you could plug it into the TV in the hotel, right? get one of those keyboards that rolls up.
The new ones are pretty darn tiny.
The new Mac?
Are they?
Mac Minis? Mac Minis are, like, I think they're like 3x3x1.
Yeah.
They're tiny.
Huh.
But
I could use my iPad as a screen, you know, I would. Well,
technically you can.
Oh. Mm. Man, you guys are blowing my mind here.
I've had my Mac, or my iPad Pro come up and say, do you want to be used as a screen for your Mac Mini? And then I go, okay.
Oh. Wow,
really?
I did not know about this, man.
Yeah, look it up. I don't remember what it was called.
You're going to need to get some new geeks to work with you, Matt. We're like way in the past here, man.
I spend most of my time staring at a command prompt.
Yeah, got it.
So there you go. I would definitely take a Mac Mini and my iPad.
You'd probably save a bunch of bucks doing a Mac Mini instead of a MacBook. You know?
Yes, exactly. And I thought the other thing I could do is take my old MacBook Pro and an external hard drive because I don't have that much space left on it.
Yeah,
you know.
So what are you going to be shooting with? What's your what kind of camera are you going to be using?
Well, that's a good question. My friend I'm going with has a Canon Mark III some kind of a Canon, but he recommended that I get a Mark II. He has like an R6 or something, and then I can use his, we can borrow, share lenses. But he has a lens that he would give me if I got the Canon Mark II.
Got it.
So anyway, I may get that. I'm not, you know, it's going to be just at the beginning of winter there in June. So it'll be like, we're going to be taking night photos and daytime photos. It's going to be a really interesting trip.
That should be so fun. It's, you know, my daughter's a photographer, and she's gone on a couple of the photography retreats and just had just some of the best times of her life. And
really?
And yours may be different. I mean, the ones she did one up in Rocky Mountain National Park or up in Estes Park, and they brought models along, and they just all kinds of opportunities to shoot nature and shoot people in nature and so on and so forth. And yeah. But then you take and mix New Zealand in with that. That sounds pretty epic. So,
Yeah, exactly. And my friend has done one in Yosemite and one in the Grand Canyon, and he just loves them. So I said, okay, next time you go on a trip, I'm going to join. So that's why he said, oh, I'm going to New Zealand. I said, sign me up.
Is this South Island?
Yeah, okay.
Got it.
Yeah. We're flying in. We're going to go to Auckland first in the north part, and then we're and then the photography part is all on the south trip. Yeah,
got it.
So
okay,
should be good.
Well, yeah. Shoot, so, man, you should call in while you're there.
Yeah,
I always forget what's the timing. Is there they're just a few hours off us, aren't they?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'll look. That's it up. A good question. I don't know. But besides that, the only other tech I really want, I have the watch, Apple Watch, but it's like a 5. So I wanted to get a newer version of that too.
Got it.
So
yeah,
money.
Yeah. So it looks like New Zealand is it's 12:46 p.m. in New Zealand right now. So
okay. So it's
so they're about four hours. No, that's actually it'd be. It's tomorrow. Sorry. It's tomorrow there.
Okay.
So yeah. Yeah. I remember that. Cause I actually had a job that I was going to go do down in New Zealand at one point, and the wheels kind of came off for reasons way beyond my control. But, I remember thinking about that flying across the international dateline and anticipating just how heinous the jet lag was going to be. So,
Yeah,
well, very cool. That's exciting. It's
I wasn't able to listen to the beginning of the show, but I'll listen to the end.
We were nerding out on Linux. You were telling people how to repurpose that old Windows 10 laptop.
Very good.
I mean, why not? I mean, Linux didn't turn into a pumpkin on the 10th of October or the 15th of October. So, you know, what the heck, you know?
Oh, I'm so frustrated with my PC. I can't even tell you. It keeps trying to, you know, because it keeps wanting to, every time I turn it on, it wants to look. I only have it because I use Quicken, and I had it for when I was teaching school, right? Front Range Community College. So I needed it. But, you know, you have so many of these shared drives, and I don't want to use my school shared drive. I want to use, just the whole one drive thing is really frustrating for me. I just said, screw it, I'm going to use iCloud for everything. Yeah.
You know, there was a major bug with OneDrive on Windows 10, and it would basically, what it would do is like when you first set up a Windows 10 computer, it would make you, or it seemed like the only way to get into the computer was to like log in with your Microsoft account, which, I mean, unless you knew there's like a special key combination you'd have to like, you know, do and basically, you know, type in a command prompt thing and it would reboot. And then it would allow you to like create a local non-Microsoft account on it. But a lot of people got kind of shoehorned into logging in with their Microsoft account. And like me as a tech, I didn't have their Microsoft account information. So I just temporarily did like just kind of a throwaway Microsoft, you know, account that I have. And which is all well and good. And so I'd get in there and then I go ahead and create a local account for them. And I'd actually delete my Microsoft account. But then at a certain point, there was a Windows major version update that would reactivate the OneDrive for the account that was originally used to log into the computer. And so all of a sudden I've got so every client that I've like used that account for, I got people calling me up going, I've got these strange things in my OneDrive that I don't even recognize. It's like, and they would like name off a company. And I'm like, oh crap.
And
at first I was going, most certainly this is because I've done something wrong or I've made a mistake. And then I mentioned it to Kevin at the software store and he went, oh yeah, that's a thing. It happened to him. And so it was.
They've taken away. Yeah. It sounds like you can't even hardly set up a Windows 11 box without a Microsoft account at this point.
Yeah, you
can't even buy the bypasses don't work anymore.
Uh-huh. Which that's a big problem.
That's a big problem.
It really is.
It's just
another reason to love Mac. So.
Oh no, it's true, isn't it? It's the more I use the PC, the less I want to use it, and it's true. So But I heard that they are coming out with a bunch of new Mac stuff, you know, in this, I think the first half of the year. So we'll see how that goes.
All right.
But anyway, well, listen, thanks
Good
for
deal.
The chat.
Yeah, and, thanks for calling, Donna. Yeah.
Okay.
Give
and
us
then,
a shout in a couple
way,
weeks.
19th,
yeah.
I will. The 19th is a holiday, I think.
Pardon me? Sit.
I think the 19th is a holiday.
Oh. Well, that's good to know. Thank you for letting us know we have the day off.
Well, anyway, okay, we'll talk to you guys later.
We'll talk about that. But yeah, take care, Donna. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Yeah.
That was our foreign correspondent, Donna Dalton, calling in from Denver.
Yeah.
And we're from the Front Range. We still have a few minutes. If you want to give us a call, 970-963-2976. And get some free tech support time in. And, we won't even make you verify your identity or prove that you're a human. Wow. New Zealand. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, that sounds like a blast.
So I was working on a computer using, I'm trying to remember what remote tool it was that we were using back in those days, whether it was LogMeIn or, remote programs. Do you remember?
Norton. What was the Norton? What was the Norton one?
That might be. I can't remember what it's called. But anyway, I was using that and I was remoting into a computer in New Zealand over dial up. And it was absolutely hilarious because I would click on something. First of all, it'd take me 10 minutes to get connected, but once I got connected, I'd click on something and then I could like literally go and make a pot of coffee and get back to my computer and it would just be starting to do what it was I told it to do. So, And let's see. So this Lego brick thing, we need to know more about this, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, what nerd doesn't like bricks, Lego bricks. And it looks like Lego has come out with a new smart brick. And I'm trying to figure out exactly what that means. What does it do? So they've got it like on these, all these different, they've got it on these little helicopters. They've got it on these, they say it makes sound. It's got a speaker in it, I guess. It's, Matt's reading really fast here. A synthesizer generating sound in response to inputs. But this could be really big for you Lego freaks out there.
Yeah.
So, and you know who you are. So.
Yeah, a lot easier than doing an ESP32.
Yeah, definitely.
Or a Pi Pico.
You're talking way over my head, man. You're talking like a Raspberry Pi?
Microcontrollers. Okay. This is probably in fact an ESP32 inside of it. They just
inside of a Lego
has a bunch of
LEDs and stuff.
But it's all wrapped
cool.
in the cool Lego software and everything.
Uh-huh.
You know,
okay,
and plastic. So
okay, well, I promise you, listeners, that we will do some more research on this, and we'll basically come back and tell you just exactly how you can compute with your Legos. So
that's what it was. PC Anywhere.
Yeah, PC Anywhere. I remember that.
Yeah. Norton PC Anywhere. Yep. Uh-huh.
Wow. Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Back in those days, I was running VNC.
Really? They had VNC back then?
It's been around for a long time. I don't know if it was before
you
PC Anywhere.
You could only run it on a local network, though, back in those days. You had to do port forward and all that. Got it. Yeah. So, yeah, anyway. Well, yeah, it looks like it's going to be a very promising year of new tech breakthroughs. I think you're going to see I've seen a lot of crazy stuff about robots in the news lately. Robots that dance, robots that fight. And because they have these like robot battles, right? Is that a thing, Matt? Have you seen this? Matt's Googling.
Yeah. I've seen some of it. Yeah. I watched BattleBots way back.
Okay. BattleBots. That's right. It was like a kind of reality TV show. Okay. They got a new version of the Tamagotchi now.
Yeah.
Okay. And powered footwear. Look at this, powered footwear. So, yeah. Hey, that might be a good thing. It's anyway.
Okay, so the core technology for VNC was released in 1994 or 95, and it originally became available in 1998.
Okay,
for VNC.
Got it. Yeah, that would fit my time frame. I think I incorporated in 1998. So, yeah. So, what do you think? Are we going to do a show on the 7th? What is it? She says the 19th. It's Martin Luther King Day. I guess we'll have to think about that.
We'll have to think about that.
So, we'll see what's going on at that point in time. So, all right. Well, okay. I'm thinking we're about ready to wrap here, aren't we?
Yeah, I gotta do it manually.
Do you?
Yeah, I got 20 cool. seconds here, so all right. But that's
good
all right.
Deal.
We'll just go ahead and run
all
it.
Right. Well, listeners, I hope you guys all got the toys that you really, really wanted for Christmas, and hopefully by next show you will have like broken them, and you can call us and we'll help you fix them.
Yeah, so, you've been listening to Geek Speak on K&K. Yeah. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy. And we'll see you when you see.
Thanks for running the board, Matt. And we'll let you guys know if we'll be back on the 19th or whether it'll be Groundhog Day the next day. So, anyway, in the meantime, do not touch your knob.